It's Dr. Mike, the Redneck Dentist, here on a beautiful Saturday in beautiful Sheridan, Oregon, coming to you live on Real Liberty Media. Thanks for joining me. Hey, just in case, I'm going to give you a little heads up. There's a big storm heading this way. So if all of a sudden, you know, you get a lot of dead air, like a lot more than normal for me, which is usually, I don't know, 10, 20 seconds I might go dead air. It's because we got knocked off. The big storm is coming in tonight, but we've been having rain for some days, and we're going to have rain for a lot more days. Looks like 7 days of rain headed our way. I'm kind of excited about it. Love the rain here in Oregon. I was born and raised in Oregon. I did get to travel a lot of the country, but man, the rain in Oregon, very different. You know, if you live in different parts of the country, you know, like you get rain, and hang on one sec. Okay, you get rain, and it kind of comes, rains, and goes. Man, not in Oregon. You can have, like we're having now, like 7 days of rain, just day after day after day. But it is what keeps Oregon so beautiful. Green, man, this time of year, my favorite time of year, just looking at the colors on the trees right now is pretty awesome because, you know, it's autumn and the leaves are changing. There's some beautiful colors here in Oregon. You know, mostly we have evergreen forests, but there is a lot of you know, hardwoods that have just beautiful leaves and beautiful color changes this time of year. As per usual, I have a bajillion things to talk about, but I thought maybe for a while, maybe the entire show, I'm going to talk about some pretty fun stuff. At least I think it's fun. And I guess that's all that's important, right? I'm kidding. I always hope that you guys find whatever I'm talking about kind of interesting in one way or another. And I actually was thinking about why do I talk about the things I talk about, especially when it comes to current events? And I was thinking, you know, usually I find current events that are interesting to me in one way or another, but it's usually not because that particular story is interesting to me. It's usually because that particular story is linked to something else, or there's something kind of behind the scenes that I like to try and link up for people. And always with an eye on freedom and liberty and living your best life the best way you can. Now I have like, usually I have 3 or 4 pages of notes that I use for show prep. Today there's literally 7 pages. And there's a whole lot of crap in there, too. But I wanted to kind of go over the fun stuff. And if that takes a whole show, so be it. We can always talk about the other stuff later. But I wanted to kind of point out a couple things, kind of cover some stuff from the past few weeks. You know that I've been building this shed over the well pump. And that shed is gigantic. It's like 8 by 12 or I don't know, it's huge, and it has a loft space, and something we did that was really kind of cool is, that was funny, Beth, something that was kind of cool we did with this, it's a barn-shaped shed. Now, I'll put a picture, which I better make a note that I said that, or I won't, pick of shed. All right. Okay, because it looks like a barn. It's barn-shaped, but, you know, it's not barn size. It's just a shed. But we put a crow's nest on it. The reason being is, as we had to do in the summertime during that sweltering heat wave we had, occasionally you got to pull your pump out of your well for whatever reason. It needs, you know, something happened in the well. The well pump failed, the wiring failed, whatever. So the crow's nest is actually the top, the very top of the crow's nest is removable so that the well people can drop their gear through the top and pull the well pump out. And of course, it's located directly over the pump access, the well, the hole that goes in the ground. So I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, that shed is completely finished on the outside except for a door. And the roof is all done. We had the tar paper and the roofing tiles on there. It's all set. So we're waiting for my buddy, the electrician. He's going to come over and run some power in there. Not for the well pump. It's already powered, but some light, you know, regular wall sockets and some lights. Anyway, so I think next weekend we might be doing that. And so much for the shed. I wanted to talk about gaming just a little bit because I got to tell you guys, as you know, I've been playing EVE Online, which is a space game, really cool graphics, a really interesting game. Playing it on my Linux machine, and you remember last week I was all bummed because I couldn't play on the Linux machine. Something happened, and it just wouldn't fire up. Now, what was amazing is I put in a ticket on, you guys might have heard my wife yelling in the background because Wisconsin's playing Purdue, and you know, I have it on the screen, and it looks like Wisconsin went for a long run. I'm not sure if it's a touchdown or not, but she's from Wisconsin. So that's, of course, why we're... Nope, he didn't quite make a touchdown, but that was a long run. Anyway, cool. So you might have heard her kind of yelling in the background. She was pretty excited. That's okay. We love sports around here, some sports anyway. What was I talking about? Oh, EVE Online. Now, listen, this is the craziest thing. So when the game quit working on my Linux machine, I submitted a ticket for help. Now, it explicitly states that they don't provide support for Linux users, which is fine. I get that, man, because most people play on Windows and, you know, people write programs for games for Windows, and that's very cool with me. But I submitted the ticket anyway because I was just hoping, well, if there's any something simple, somebody will tell me, and, you know, or they'll just tell me to, you know, pack sand. Well, so I immediately got a response from the support people on EVE Online, and they were kind of talking me through what I had to do to find out what the problem was, and they asked me for a certain log, a copy of a log to send them, and I couldn't find the log, which, of course, because I'm not on a Windows machine. So I wrote back to him and I said, look, I'm playing on my Linux computer. I go, the game works fine on a Windows computer. I already tried that. It's just a Linux thing. Now listen, they did not have to help me one single bit because they explicitly stated they don't provide support for Linux users. But this guy literally gave me two links to a forum where they talk specifically about this game running on Linux. And sure enough, the fix was in that forum. So, I don't know. You know, I think I got that information on Saturday evening and Sunday morning. You know, I'm screwing around, nothing to do, so I tried the fix, and it worked fine. And I was like, man, that was absolutely outstanding. That guy did not have to waste 1 minute helping me out, but he did, and he actually provided the answer I was looking for. So I thought that was awesome. I just wanted to pass that on, like, literally the best game support I've ever experienced. And so I go back to enjoying playing the game here on my beautiful Linux setup, which makes me very happy that I don't have to go over to Windows. And it gives me a place to look the next time something happens, which I'm sure it will. I mean, that kind of stuff happens. You know, when you live in a Linux world, no, when you live in a Windows world, on a Linux machine. Yeah, you can expect some stuff to go wrong once in a while, especially if you're trying stuff like this. You know, this is kind of, I would say it's kind of new for Linux to be running Windows programs on Linux machines, but what a great community Linux has to have people who actually work on this stuff and try and make this environment as enjoyable as anything else, and keeps us from having to go to Linux. I mean, to Windows. While I'm on that topic, I actually saw that Linux is making a phone now. I mean, they've been doing that for a few years, but it looks like the next iteration of that phone is coming out in a few months. I think I'm going to try it out. They haven't had a lot of great success with their previous phones. I don't know why. I haven't really followed it that much, but I'm going to start following it, because this next phone I don't think is going to be out for a few months, but man, I would sure like to get away from Google-based phones or whatever, you know, iPhone. I've never had an iPhone, so I wouldn't know, but I'm looking forward to that. That was just a side note, though. Okay. And just a little bit about, like, my personal health. This, I don't know how many of you are as old as I am. I'm sure some people are older. Most are probably younger. But I'm telling you, man, cataracts and arthritis, welcome to getting older. And I'm sure people, you know, no matter what profession you participate in, no matter what you do for fun or work, you just wear parts out. And then you have stuff like cataracts that they happen to some people. I guess not everybody gets them, but god dang, it is so annoying. But anyway, luckily I have my appointment for my pre-op. I decided to put it off until after the first of the year because of an insurance thing that I won't really get into, but this is one of those things that you just gotta wonder, like, how does stuff like this happen? I have to say, I'm so fortunate that when I was 18 or 19, I decided to go in the service, and then I made it a career, and way back then, I decided to make it a career for a couple reasons. One is, I could retire young from the service. And number two is I would get benefits from retiring, like health care. Okay, so I have this pretty good health care from retiring from the service. But last year in October, when they have what they call open season, I decided I would get this one benefit. This is so funny that it works out to be so stupid. I wanted this one benefit that was like not a health savings account, or maybe it is a health savings account, but basically it was an account where the company puts in $1,000 and then I can put in however much a month, and I can use that money for any kind of healthcare related stuff. If I wanted to use it to pay copays or to buy medication or to pay for whatever, you can use. I'm sure you guys are aware what this thing is. But anyway, so I bought the cheapest. It's called a community health insurance. It has a really high copay. Because it's, that's why it's so cheap, is because you pay for a lot of stuff. But I thought it doesn't really matter because I have TRICARE, which covers me because I'm retired from the service. Well, as it turns out, when you buy a health insurance from your employer, there's like some rule that makes that the primary insurance. So every time I would go to the doctor, they would bill this primary insurance, which I already know doesn't cover much because that's not the reason I got it. I got it for this health savings account. And so then after the primary insurance pays or doesn't pay whatever they're going to do, then they bill the secondary insurance, TRICARE, which has always paid really well, no problems, no questions asked, just straightforward, you know, easy to deal with, my retirement insurance. Okay, so because I've had, well, number one, too many trips to the emergency room this year and have seen how this primary and secondary insurance stuff works and doesn't work, I decided I wasn't going to get this cataract surgery this year. I would put it off till the first of the year. So anyway, that's why I put the cataract surgery off till after the first of the year, is because I'm dumping this stupid insurance because it's been such a hassle. Yeah, it's been nice to have the extra money to pay stuff, but I really didn't need it. And it turned out to be way more of a hassle than it needed to be. So maybe that's a little heads up for you if you ever decide to do something like that. You know, really kind of think about how it's going to impact your life in the long run, because I really didn't have any idea how that was going to change, you know, how I lived and how things got handled, which I'm grateful that I had it, but it has just been such a hassle. It'll be nice this month, to drop that and go back to my regular TRICARE, which was awesome. I don't even know why I made that change. I guess I thought it would be cool because the company's putting in $1,000, and anytime somebody's going to give you money, it's like, hey, you better take the money, you know. But no, not worth it. For me, in this instance, not worth it. And the arthritis is just like, oh, this beautiful, rainy, cold, wet weather, you know, kind of reminds you about where all you have arthritis. Like today, my wrists were killing me. My neck always is so noisy. I mean, it sounds like I have gravel in my neck, and, you know, they say it's just arthritis, so deal with it. And it doesn't always hurt horribly, but it, you know, it's kind of like chronic pain. I know some of you are familiar with it. So anyway, that's my personal kind of health stuff I'm going through. And let's see. And kind of along that line, I wanted to tell you about, really, with arthritis, I'm going to have to try that Mulin tea, which also is good for coughs and ear infections. Maybe not Mulin tea, but a Mulin extract ointment solution is good for ear infections. And Mulin tea apparently is good for arthritis and coughs. That's cool. What a great plant that is. Okay. Another side note, I just noticed about a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago, Nebraska doctors can write prescriptions for ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine because their attorney general, the state of Nebraska attorney general, said, yes, you can go ahead and do this, which is awesome because people who need that to relieve symptoms of whatever this thing is going around, COVID or not COVID, at least there's one state in the nation that we know of that can legally write these prescriptions. And while I'd like to say I wish a lot more states would get on this bandwagon and quit letting the federal government push them around, you know, unfortunately a lot of states are, you know, at the beck and call of the feds, so we can't really hope for much. Although many of the pages of the 7 pages I have to chat about today have a lot to do with the pushback against the mandates. But like I said, we may not get to that this week because I have so much other fun stuff to talk about. Okay, now I'm going to tell you a story about my brother-in-law. This would be my wife's brother. And I'm telling you this story just because, to me, being a bit of a computer hacker, a bit of a tech guy, you know, one of those people that others come to for help. They came up from California, of course. So that'll probably tell you everything you need to know about them. Anyway, so they came up, and of course I told him I had a podcast and he wanted to see how all this worked, but we never got around to it. But I'm kind of wondering if he'll be listening to this. But probably he took this in stride, so it's going to be okay no matter what. I just won't make too much fun of him like I did to his face. So he asked me, he bought a laptop right before they made this trip because they wanted to, he wanted to be able to take stuff off of their phones, like pictures and music and stuff, and put it on something else, either a thumb drive or, you know, just to clear their phones, keep them free of being loaded up with too much stuff, pictures and music and movies, whatever, drink time. Drink up, everyone. Man, I kind of wish that was Mullen tea, but that's my medicine ball. Okay. So I said, okay, well, how can I help you? I mean, what is it that you would like done? And he said, well, he says, I have these CDs that somebody made me. And he said, I'd like to play them on my car, but they're in the wrong format. And I was like, oh, okay, that should be easy enough to use, which, by the way, I'm just going to tell you, there's two programs on Linux that work awesome. I'm sure that you can do this on Windows too, but this was so fantastic on Linux. It was so fast. And it carried all the data over, like all the song names and length and artist, all that stuff. One is called Sound Juicer, which rips the audio format into a different audio format, and then Sound Converter, which then converts it to MP3 format, which was perfect because he wanted to put it on a thumb drive because his vehicle had a thumb drive input, and he could just put the thumb drive in and play music, okay? So that was cool. He just gave me some discs, I think 4 discs, and all the songs were in WAV format, .WAV, which does play, I guess, in CD players, but I don't think he had a CD player. It was all digital in his little Jeep Liberty or something like that. Okay, so that was the first thing, and then I was like, okay, what else can I help you with? And he says, I think I need some kind of virus protection on my laptop. And he says, you know, I don't want to pay for it. Like, I don't want McAfee, or I don't want, you know, Norton or whatever. He goes, I just want something, you know, free that will protect me from viruses. I was like, okay. I said, you know, I like to use AVG, which I forget what that stands for, but I have it on my phone. I have it on my, well, I run Linux, so I don't worry about it too much on my Linux machine. Anyway, I know that it's a good program, and you can buy up, you know, different levels of protection, but for basic, you know, simple protection, AVG has a free version that's real nice and works good. Okay. So he brings over his laptop and sets it on the table, plugs it in, and I open the laptop, and what do you think I see taped right on the keyboard? And I bet all of you listening can guess. It would be his username and password, literally taped on the front of his laptop. I mean, like, literally taped right below the keys of the keyboard so that you didn't even have to look for it, and it was in big, nicely printed letters. And I just looked at him like, are you kidding me? You know, this is like a hacker's dream. And I'm going to tell you guys why. Because like him, a lot of people would think, as he does, he goes, look, he goes, it's, you know, it's just my laptop. I don't have anything on it, right? Well, that's right. Maybe he doesn't have anything on it, although he did tell me no. No, it was actually a pretty decent username and password, but it does absolutely no good if it's taped literally right on the keyboard. But so he said, you know, there's nothing on this computer that, you know, I don't store any, you know, private information on here, which I completely disagree with, because one of the things that he said is he wanted more integration with Google, which, hello, because Microsoft Edge kept trying to be his default browser, and he didn't know how to change that, and he has everything on Google. So you get my point. So he doesn't think he has anything stored on his laptop. But if he uses Google for everything, well, for those of you who use Google and know where all the leaks are, and you know, how much they snoop and everything, well, you know that that's not true. Somebody who could get their hands on that laptop could probably create a lot of problems for him. But what I want to share with you is, as somebody who has done some hacking in the past, and, you know, basically my entire life has been spent figuring out how computer languages work and how to make computers do what you want them to do versus them doing whatever they do without you having much say in it. I'm going to tell you, let's say even if somebody accessed this Linux computer I'm sitting at, let's say I had my username and password sitting right here somewhere, which I don't. A hacker would be so flippin' happy to have their hands on a machine that had somebody else's username and password on it. Because then they can kind of go do whatever they want to do under your identity. You see what I'm saying? So you provide somebody with a username and password of a device that you usually use. Well, when that person logs on, it looks like you, because it has your username and your password. So if that person wanted to go snoop in the NSA database, or wanted to go break into a bank, or wanted to post a bunch of public records of people that they wanted, that they just wanted to expose for one reason or another, well, they could use your device because you've given them the freedom to just basically take that device and use it for whatever they want to use it for. So keep that in mind when you think about your own personal electronic device security, that it's not about your stuff necessarily. I mean, it is important to protect your stuff. If you do online transactions of one kind or, I mean, just imagine. So let's say he ever used Amazon, and he had a card saved in Amazon, and then he has a username and password on his keyboard. Somebody could just open up his machine, go into his browser history. Oh, this guy uses Amazon. Hell, they don't even have to go into the browser history. They would just know, just type in Amazon.com, and it'll say, would you like to log in as so-and-so, or would you like to log in as another account? Or maybe sometimes it auto-logs in, and then they're just free to have at it. And, you know, a lot of those sites, people save a card on, so they don't have to enter the card number every single time, and off they go, buying whatever they want on your dime. And it would be pretty hard, I think, although I guess some credit cards have some protection, but it'd be pretty hard to defend yourself against somebody charging up a bunch of stuff when you left your username and password on your device and allowed somebody access to it. Wow, that's good. That is good. Never used auto login anywhere. That's awesome. I cannot say the same thing. But I have pretty secure passwords, I think. Anyway, I'm not going to say that I've never been hacked because, you know, jinxing myself. Okay, so anyway, that's a bit about computer security. And this is a funny story. I almost wanted, and matter of fact, I think I actually told him, you don't need an antivirus because you aren't serious about protecting your device at all. But we put some antivirus on there, and hopefully he took that as a, you know, kind of a put him on notice that he is not safe at all doing that, and for reasons other than what he was thinking, that he doesn't have anything on that computer. Just having a device with somebody else's identity on it that you can use to peruse the world and create havoc would be enough for any hacker, make kind of any hacker's dream come true, that's for sure. All right, I wanted to talk about this story. I don't know if you all saw this, about the rattlesnakes that rattlesnake catcher was called to remove from under a house in Santa Rosa, California. And the story caught my attention for a few reasons. One is Santa Rosa, California, there's some connection here. My daughter's dad, biological dad, lives in California, and I think it's close to Santa Rosa, because I always hear that, Santa Rosa, come up whenever they go down to visit. And the other thing is that it was not just a couple rattlesnakes, but this the guy that they called to remove a couple snakes, that's what the owner thought, that they had a couple snakes under the house. The guy ended up removing like 92 rattlesnakes out from under this house. That's a lot of rattlesnakes. And there's a reason why that happens. And I'm going to share a little experience with you about that. But I wanted to talk about one other thing first. So the owner said to the guy, oh, that must be why I don't have any rodents, which I thought was an awesome perception on their part, that they had so many rattlesnakes. And what a great way to keep rodents away from your place is just have like 92 rattlesnakes under your house. A mouse or a rat or a squirrel, they wouldn't stand a chance, man. They wouldn't be able to get within, I'm sure, any feet of this place without getting nabbed. And that's one reason I absolutely love snakes. We try and create an environment here on our little property that is very friendly to, you know, the local wildlife, whatever it is. They're not allowed to live here. I mean, if they're a nuisance, like a raccoon stealing chicken eggs or killing chickens, skunks, you know, possums. Although possums, I really have to give some leeway because they eat ticks like crazy. I don't know if you know that. I'm sure I said it before on this show, but possums are like they're not the tick-eating champion of the world. Those guinea fowl are the man. They eat ticks and fleas like crazy, but possums are a close second, that's for sure. So anyway, you know, some things we give a little more leeway to than others. I mean, as long as you're not killing my food or destroying my food, we'll probably just push you on out of here. Coyotes, no, they're not allowed. I don't care if they're not doing anything. You can bet one thing, if a coyote's nearby, they're going to be doing something. But anyway, So we try and create an environment that, you know, especially snakes, we love snakes around here. We don't have poisonous snakes here. We have garter snakes and gopher snakes. And there's this one other snake. I can't remember what the name of it is right now. It's black and it kind of looks rubbery. Looks like a fake snake, but we've seen it up here a few times. Every couple years we see it. I didn't see it this year, but there's got to be a breeding population nearby or I wouldn't have seen one. I forget what that snake is called, but it's cool looking because it's so different. But anyway, we encourage snakes to live here. In other words, we don't kill them if we see them. We don't let the grandkids bother them too much when they find one. We might let them pick it up for a minute, but we make them put it down, usually in a gopher hole, and leave them alone and just let them be because that's where snakes are happiest. And the more snakes we have, the less rodents, which is great because there is kind of a big contingent of field mice in this area. And we do have plenty of gophers, but we keep them at bay also using the gas method or shooting them because sometimes you catch them coming out of the hole and you can shoot them. But I wanted to talk about the snakes for a minute because this is really interesting. So the reason that there were so many rattlesnakes under this house, well, I got to wet my whistle. Hang on. Sorry. Is because there's this thing called like a breeding ball. And I'd seen this before, and I actually have a video, and this is why I'm talking about this today. I actually have a video of garter snakes in this breeding frenzy this year at our house. Now, we saw this before a year ago, and I had kind of a feeling that this is what was going to happen. But last year, when I first saw it, I was like, eh, I haven't seen that many snakes around here. I mean, a healthy number, but not too many. So I didn't really consider it a problem. But this year, I think, is kind of the precursor to a problem next year. So this year, my wife was on the treadmill, which faces out toward this landscape area we have out here with the fountain. And if you've seen some of my videos of the RC rock crawlers, you know which fountain and which landscape area I'm talking about. So she was looking out there and all of a sudden she saw a garter snake just like really kind of frantically kind of crawling through the bushes. And then she saw another garter snake kind of following it kind of in the same area and then another one and then another one. And she tried to get some video while she was on the tread. And it was through a window and stuff, and then it was kind of hard to stay, like she zoomed in, and it was hard to stay focused on one snake, so you can kind of see the camera moving between snakes. Anyway, she told me about that, and I was like, because I knew what that meant. I knew it was like breeding season or breeding moment. I don't know how long it lasts for garter snakes, but I can tell you this, it's probably a week, and I'll tell you why. So later, I think the next day, in this one area kind of like, which this makes sense, kind of above the or below the laundry room, or let's just say in the laundry room, I don't know if you've ever picked up a snake and had it kind of, crap on you or musk on you. There's a very distinct smell from snakes. And after my wife made the video of that garter snake action out in the landscape area, like a day later, I started smelling snake smell in the laundry room, and I was like, oh, no. I bet those snakes, because I'd seen them go under the house before, and I was just thinking, yeah, I bet we're going to have a breeding ball under the house. And there is such thing called a breeding ball, especially for garter snakes. And there's actually some kind of nightmarish stories. If you go look for garter snake infestation, you'll see some houses that have like hundreds of freaking garter snakes under the house. And I don't really know how to get rid of them, but this is my plan for next year. I'm going to buy a couple mongoose. I'm going to buy some mongoose and just put them under the house to keep the snakes out. I'm kidding. I'm pretty sure you can't buy a mongoose. And I'm fairly certain it wouldn't like living under our house. And I think they're probably pretty mean. I don't know. But that was my first thought. Okay, so, yeah. And it stunk pretty good for about a week. You could smell that snake smell. Oh, and here's the thing. So this is kind of weird, but the snakes, and I can't remember if it's male or female. I know that, like, the male garter snakes will emit a musk that mimics the female so that other males will get distracted. And then it's kind of like their competition, a trick to compete, is they make themselves smell like a female so the other males kind of come to them, and then they go and breed with the female. But the bottom line is, like, all of these snakes are kind of creating musk of one, you know, thing or another. If they're a female, they're creating musk. And if they're a male, they're creating musk. And there's this big breeding frenzy that goes on. And, yeah, it's kind of smelly. So next year, so let's say 2 years ago, we had a few snakes that we noticed. And this year, there was like a dozen snakes that we noticed. And you can just imagine. I mean, if there's enough food to support them, there's going to be a lot more snakes next year. Which, you know, I would hope that they would go, if there's that many snakes that survive the winter, hopefully they eat a lot of baby mice, which would be awesome. And the gopher snakes that we have a pretty healthy contingent of gopher snakes here too. Some pretty big ones, like 4 feet long, maybe. Maybe I've seen one 5-footer, but I don't think they get much bigger than that here in Oregon. But we leave them completely alone because we love what they do to the gopher population here. 'Cause we pretty much hate gophers. And I suppose if they were good eating, that would be different. The gophers, I mean, not the snakes. But anyway, they do a pretty good job. And, you know, yeah, they keep the rodent population in check. And we have a pretty healthy population of garters and gophers here. So, looking forward to having them continue to maintain rodent populations. But I wouldn't. I would like to avoid a little bit of that snake ball breeding stuff under the house. Yeah, I've eaten rattlesnake before. I just saw a comment in the chat. I've eaten rattlesnake before, and I thought it was delicious. I wouldn't mind that at all. But I don't want to eat them if they're doing something good for me, which it seems like they are. All right, let's look at my notes and see what other fun stuff there's one really stupid thing I want to tell you about. This is kind of funny. The clinic I work in, so a company came in and renovated this office. This was before I started working there. So it used to be owned by a dentist, and he retired and sold this practice to a company. Not the company I work for. This was a company before I started working there. And, you know, some of these are called dental service organizations, DSOs. These DSOs, they, of course, they're all about making money and little else. I mean, that's kind of their goal. They just want to make money. They don't treat docs very well. They don't treat staff very well. They don't treat anybody very well. They just want to make money. And I get that. But what they did, so they converted this office, which I think used to have four operatories, and they like destroyed a bunch of space and converted it into another operatory, a place where you would see patients and treat them. And they got rid of a bunch of storage. Like, so there's nowhere to store stuff for running a dental clinic. So, like, you have to kind of keep a certain amount of supplies on hand, but you can't really stock up on anything, which you can't now anyway because there's shortages everywhere. Another reason I'm getting very much closer to retiring. But that has nothing to do with what I'm trying to tell you. We'll get into that maybe before the show's over with, about me calling it quits here pretty quick. You never know. So there's basically nowhere to store stuff. So somebody, and I won't say who, but somebody decided they would put shelving up in the bathroom, which there was already shelving up on one side of the bathroom. And this isn't a big bathroom. It's a single toilet. It's a small office, you know, and there's a bathroom up front for public and a bathroom in the back for staff. And, you know, it's just a small bathroom with a little bit of storage area. But somebody thought that they would put two more shelves in there, and they put them on the other wall, which the toilet isn't centered in the center of the room. It's kind of off to the right as you look in, and the shelves that existed were on the left. But here's the problem. So they put two shelves on the right-hand side, but you can't, like, stand... let's say this. If you sat on the toilet, and, I don't know, you're doing something and you're distracted, and you stand up and you're taller than 5 feet tall, you're going to hit your head on this shelf. That's how low it is. And it overhangs the toilet. And I was just looking at this shelving job like, who did this? Like, who thought of this? And who thought this was a good idea? Because it's not. And we have an intern. Well, I guess he was an intern. Now he's hired, working there. And he's, I think, as tall as I am. And when I said something about this on the day that it occurred, because it, I don't know, it happened when I was off for a day or something. And he said, yeah, I already hit my head on it 3 times. So, anyway, I think that that's going to have to be done away with. Now, see, I told you I was going to talk about some fun stuff. And we did most of the show talk about fun stuff. And let me see if there's anything else fun in these notes. I know there was something. Nope, I did that. We talked about the snakes. And let's see here. And I wouldn't dare sing because that's just not a thing for me. Okay. Man, I was looking through these notes and I thought, oh, there's one more thing I could tell you. But I kind of forgot. Oh, I think last week I was talking about an aluminum parasite. Like somebody did some research and they got a hold of the juice that they use for the jab, and they kind of wanted to see what was in it, and they found out that there's like an aluminum parasite in there. Which kind of makes sense that that's why they don't allow ivermectin or ivermectin to be used, is because it'll kill this aluminum parasite. But then you got to ask yourself, why is there aluminum pyrrhosite in this juice they're demanding that everybody get? I mean, it's no longer even a question, you know, about like this natural immunity is poo-pooed. Like the nope, sorry, you're still not immune. You need to get the jab. It's such a demand to get the jab. It's crazy just how forceful the government is being in making sure that everybody is going to get the jab. And I noticed that this, the Health and Human Services director of the CDC, what's her name? Rachel something. I'm not going to look it up. I'm just going to tell you because we're actually coming really close to the end of the hour. But the CDC director said now that they've gone ahead and given the okay for booster shots, like a couple of the medications have been approved for boosters, and they're saying you can mix and match these boosters all you want. That, you know, I mean these juices all you want, it doesn't matter which one you get, but they just want everybody to get these boosters, which, you know, you guys who have listened to me before, you know that I see that this thing doesn't work, it doesn't do anything. I did a big part of a show on all of the reasons why this is not a vaccine, it can't be considered a vaccine, it doesn't do anything that they said it was going to do. And yet they want you to keep getting it. But anyway, what she said this week is, well, you know, now that we have the boosters, we're probably going to have to move the goalposts a little bit on what we consider fully vaccinated. Luckily, there is a lot of pushback against the so-called mandate, although I have a story in here. And still to this day, there isn't officially a mandate to get the vaccine or be fired. Apparently, you know, it just hasn't come out yet. So it kind of makes me wonder about all of the people who have been let go already because businesses have kind of made their own mandates and fired people. I think those people are going to have some legal courses of action to take. And I hope that they do. Because as much as I really love people who start their own businesses and who are successful at their businesses. And I'd be willing to bet that most of those people don't have jab mandates. But some of these big businesses, I hope people sue the crap out of them. And I can almost guarantee that those businesses have no protection. Number one, because there was no mandate, legally or federally active mandate, but yet they kind of created this rule, took away people's rights to make their own health decisions about their own bodies, which I don't know how that happened with my body, my right. I guess that only applies to women who want to abort babies, I guess is the only thing that really applies to. And I'm sorry, that probably sounded really crappy, but it's kind of true, you know. It's kind of like religion. You know, you can practice any religion you want with all the rights in the world, except Christian religion. Don't dare practice that. There's a lot of hypocrisy in the world for sure. Let's see. Oh, I did have kind of a crazy story. Let's see, we got a couple minutes left. So this story I thought was crazy because it actually came out of Oregon. I titled it, The Search for Truth in COVID Numbers from Oregon? And it says, Oregon State Senators Kim Thatcher and Dennis Linthicum both Republicans, which are rare in Oregon that we even have Republicans, but I'm pretty sure they're rhinos. Yeah, they have to be to survive in this state, have petitioned acting U.S. Attorney Scott E. Asfaugh to launch a grand jury investigation into the measurement of COVID-19 statistics by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the Food and Drug Administration, which I think is awesome. I think that they should investigate why there were, number one, like no flu cases last year, none whatsoever, and, you know, why we had to lie about so many deaths being COVID-related when they weren't. Why do we have 50,000 deaths from people who were vaccinated, but we don't count them if it was within 14 days. We don't count those people as being vaccinated because they don't want that number to look bad either. You know, and there are several studies out now coming out that 70% and higher numbers of people who are in the hospital with COVID have been fully vaccinated. So anyway, regarding the diagnosis of COVID-19 through widely used PCR tests, the senator said that CDC and the FDA's setting of one particular test parameter, the cycle threshold, generated false positives, resulting in inflated numbers of COVID cases. That's true. Harvard epidemiologist Dr. Michael Mina told the New York Times in August 2020 that tests with two high of a threshold may detect not just live viruses, but also genetic fragments, and we all knew that. At least everybody who generally follows this show knows that. But anyway, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do some BitChute shows this week. So I will post here whenever those go up. This show will also be available on BitChute, but I want to get through these notes. They are a little bit time sensitive, and, you know, for me, it's a ton of fun. So anyway, thanks for joining me this week. I look forward to seeing you all again in the chat room or, you know, next week or over on BitChute. Thank you. Hey, thanks for listening to the show here today with me, Doc Mike, the Redneck Dentist. I invite you to join us on reallibertymedia.com and rlmradio.xyz. If you're interested in learning the truth, if you're interested in learning about liberty, and I mean true liberty, and if you want to have some fun, come on over to reallibertymedia.com and rlmradio.xyz. Thanks. Bye.